hope you heard the words that we just sang, thought of those words. For I would say that the words that we just sang are in many ways a reiteration of the text that we're going to take today. With that said, we're going to turn to, again this week, the book of 1 John and chapter 1. 1 John and chapter 1. Last week we were considering from this chapter, the 9th verse. This week we're going to consider the 7th verse. Since this is just a very short chapter, let's read together the words of this chapter as we prepare for our time in the Word this morning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. I would point out to you just a couple of verses in preparation for our time this morning. I want you to see that John points to a couple of truths that, indeed I say, set the stage, so to speak, for what he says in verse 7. In verse 3, he makes the statement, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There is the place. There is the object and subject of our fellowship. There is fellowship that we have one with another, believer to believer, but the subject of this chapter is how a man goes on with God in fellowship with Father and Son. And then when you come to verse 5, he emphasizes that as one would walk with the Lord, understand that the Lord in his light has no darkness. That to walk with God means not to walk with darkness. But then he goes on in our text and says, but if we do walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God. We are able to go on with God. We are able to know him. We are able to fulfill what we have admonished to us in the verse that precedes this chapter in the Word of God. And that is the verse we read for our reading this morning. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you want to go on with the Lord? Do you want to grow? Then there's some things that you need to see. Before we go further, though, let's turn our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us and speak to us for his own name's sake. Our Father and our God, again this morning we do pray that thou wilt take the word of God and that thou wilt use it in the hearts of thy people to make us like Christ, to bring us to the place where we would love Christ, to allow us to know more, that we would grow in Him. Lord, I pray for a moving of the Spirit of God in this place today. I pray that Thou wilt do it so that every heart is drawn, every heart is hearing the voice of the Shepherd. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt undertake to do for us what man cannot do, and that is to apply the Word of God with true gospel power. Lord, I pray now that Thou wilt help me as Thy servant. I pray that Thou wilt lead and direct in every thought, guide every word. May not one word be spoken that is not appointed by the Lord, we pray, for Jesus' sake, and we pray it in His name. Amen. As I said, we are taking verse 7 as our text. I will say of verse 7 that it is a very well-known verse. It is a verse that many of you, probably even most of you, could quote easily and readily. I will say to you, though, I believe that in this verse there is a bit of a mystery that many people would scratch their heads about, and that is, what does it mean to walk in the light as He is in the light? What does that really refer to? That, I say, will be something that we shall seek to answer today. And further, we will seek to apply what that very message is to the people of God. The message that we have this week, as the message was last week, I will say to you, is for every believer a foundational thought that revolves around our going on with our God. Here is foundational truth. And I want us to think on that, and I will not devote any more time to introductory remarks. I want to go straight to what we're talking about. I want us to see this as our subject. We are, as the people of God, to walk with the Lord in the light of who He is and what He demands of those that are His. We are to walk with Him. And I want us to see where it is that we are to walk and how it is that we are to walk. And so I say the subject really then boils down to walking in the light as He is in the light. I want you to see with me then, as I go immediately to what I want to talk about, I want you to see that here the matter is divine. This is a divine matter. Walking in the light is a divine subject. I would have to say that as I was coming to this heading, for this point, I was wrestling to try to put what I'm going to say, that the matter of the truth would be, into one term. We could call the light of the Lord singular. We could say there are truths about it that are seen nowhere else or apply to nothing else. And so you'd also maybe say that it was unique. So I could have said first, rather than saying it is divine, I could have said it maybe it was singular or unique. And I will say, yes, that would be true, but that does not define exactly the many derived meanings that we will take from it this morning. The light of men or men's conclusions can also have something that might deserve that description, so I set that to the side. Do we call God's light definite or extraordinary or sublime? Certainly all of those things would work too. But the one word that I settled on and the word that I want us to think about when we consider the light of the Lord and how we are to walk with Him in that light, the one word that marks the nature of the light that is being spoken of here is that it is divine. The light is all and only of God. It is His light that we are to walk in. Robert Candlish says the light here spoken of is that in that place and that in which the Lord dwells. It is the state of absolute purity and absolute truth. It is His own light. In that light, and here I want to underscore, He sees, He knows, He surveys, and He judges all things. It was suggested by one commentator that here is very much the same light of the glory which was made to pass by Moses. And Moses, having been in that light to a degree, was a man that was changed. The glorious purity, holiness, the nature of God that makes him to be 100% sinless and immaculate in all things, that light of his holiness is that light that is referred to here. It has also been questioned, is this light simply the truth of God that brings a man to see his condition, his world, and his God rightly? Again, it cannot be denied that walking in the light does not allow for error, darkness, and falsehood to reign in a man's heart. So there is an element in which that is true. But the reference here to fellowship indicates what is in view with these words. We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with our God in what He is. Candlish, when he was commenting on this verse, said it's somewhat amazing that men would say of this verse, we have fellowship one with another. That means that we have fellowship from believer to believer. He said that completely destroys the whole sense of the passage and denies what we point out in verse number 3. We are talking about how a man goes on with God. So I say to you this morning, the truth presented here is that the believer, if he goes on with God, goes on with him where God is, not where the believer is. If I am going to go on with God, I dwell with him where he dwells, not where I wish to dwell. The statement is that we walk with our God in the light of his brilliant person. We are under the influence of his all-seeing and all-knowing presence. This, to some, may propose a difficulty. How does a weak and fallen believer walk with God in that place where all is pure and all is right? I wrestled with what to bring from a book that I have in my library. This is a commentary by Robert Candlish. And I started to write down certain things from this book that I wanted to say at this point, and then I found out I can't write that fast and I can't type that well, so probably the better thing would be just to try to read it. Now, I will have to say, Robert Candlish is a man from the 1800s in Scotland. They have a unique way of saying things there, and it's not always the easiest for somebody who lives in this century to read what was written by those in that century and make it sound like it makes sense. But I hope that you will give me a little bit of charity and try to stay with me as I read just a few things from this book that he makes a comment about the very subject of how is it that you are to go on with God, though God is all pure and all holy and all without any vestige of sin at all. He says this, "For it is indeed a marvelous community of light that is here indicated as subsisting between God and us, between the Holy One and His redeemed and regenerate people. To have the same medium of vision with God Himself, the same translucent, transparent atmosphere of holiness and truth and love surrounding us, penetrating our inner man and purging our mind's eye, our soul's eye, our heart's eye, that it may see as God sees, illuminating all space to us, before, behind, above, below, with the very illumination with which it is illuminated to Him, causing all objects, actions, and events, all men and things, all thoughts, words, and deeds, our own as well as those of others, to appear to us exactly what they appear to Him, thus to walk in the light as He is in the light. Who may stand that? I was thinking, what an amazing statement. Yes, for you to actually see things about yourself, about your heart, about your mind, just exactly as God sees them, as you walk with Him in His light, who can stand that? He says, ah, me, how shall I ever venture to walk out into that light which God is? How can I face its terrible disclosures? I can see how this walking in the light as He is in the light does indeed open the way to fellowship of the closest sort between Him and me. Literally, we see all things in the same light. We therefore cannot but understand one another and agree with one another and sympathize with one another and cooperate with one another. We have fellowship one with another. But it is possible that with respect to all things whatsoever I can bear to have the same light and the same medium of open vision that God has, sin, for instance, my sin of mine, every secret sin, so exceedingly sinful, oh, with such sin and so much about me and upon me and in me, how dare I go forth into that very light, so pure and piercing which God is? And yet, where else now am I to look for Him and find Him in peace? I thank Thee, O God, my Father, for that most precious word in season, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, it is a word in season to the weary. For I am weary, weary of darkness, in which I have been trying to hide or paint deformity and get up some specious semblance of decency and beauty, weary of all impostures and all lies, the poor and paltry lies, especially of my self-deluding, or scarcely even self-deluding, self-righteousness, weary of all attempts to take advantage of the darkness for making evil seem a little less evil and show some of good, and some show of a good look a little more than like reality, I would fain step forth from the darkness into light, into thy light, O God. Thou mayest, I do hear thee say. I want you to see that. The Lord says, thou mayest do this, though. Though you have all these sins and all this defilement, you may step forward into the light. For be thy guilt ever so deep and thy heart ever so black, the blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, cleanseth from all sin. He has answered for thy guilt. He has purchased for thee a new heart. The fountain filled with His atoning blood is ever freely opened and fully overflowing. Wash in that fountain and be clean. Enter into victory of light over darkness which blood secures. Let all compromise, and I want you to hear this, let all compromise take end. Compromise is a work of darkness. I invite thee to have fellowship with me, fellowship real and not merely nominal, with me and with my Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with us in our plan and purpose of saving mercy. It is all its grace and all its glory. A fellowship it is with us of insight, confidence, partnership, sympathy, joy. If it is to be real fellowship, it must be a fellowship of light. I cannot modify, I cannot alter that condition of fellowship any more than I can cease to be what I am, light. But I do what is far better. I make provision for the removal of every obstacle which your guilt and corruption might interpose in the way of your walking in the light as I am in the light. I give you the assurance that the blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, cleanseth from all sin. Sometimes when you read things through like that, you wonder, are you doing a service to the people of God reading that, because you lose people as you try to read through? But essentially what he was saying is this, You and I may war within our own minds and hearts. How am I to go on with God, seeing what I am? Knowing that the light of God is the absolute pure holiness of God, which God says he cannot alter. And let us understand and let us get deep within our souls. God does not alter who he is for the sake of walking with his people. What God does is make the way for the people of God to be made right so that they can walk with him where he is. And here I say is a wondrous truth. This is a foundational truth for the people of God to walk on and to understand within their souls. Would you go on with God? Would you be with him where he is, understanding as he sets things forth for you, seeing things as he sees them, not deluding yourself, not hiding yourself in the darknesses of your own self-justification or your own self-pity or anything that has to do with self? Would you be free from all that and go on with God in the purity of who he is, knowing the victory that's in Christ that leads to joy? Would you do that? Do not listen to the accusation of the wicked one who would say, well, you can't because look at what you are. Look at where you've been. Look at what you're doing. Look at all the feelings. Oh, I say with Candlish, what a wonderful word in season it is to hear from your God in the very same phrases that he says, walk with me, that he gives you the answer how. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. Last week, we considered a foundational truth. And that foundational truth was how you have a confidence of sins forgiven. The basis of that foundation was, I hope you remember, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It is because of the work that is done from Christ that you have a confidence that your sin is forgiven, not because of what you've done. The next question, and I say, maybe I see myself here because I've been thinking about 1 John for a while here, of doing a series here, and I'm saying, Mark, you're starting at the back and going to the front. This is not how it works. It may be, because I say last week we were talking about the foundational truth of sin forgiven. This week, the foundational truth of how you go on with God, and it's the same answer. You can go on with God because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses you from sin. There's no reason for you not to go on with God. There's no reason for you not to stand in the purity of his light, in the purity of his holiness. Which brings me to my second point. I said to begin, we're talking about that which is divine. But I want you to see also we're talking about that which is possible. It is possible to walk with the Lord in his light, as Candlish said, would seem to the heart of any sane man to be impossible, for he sees every certain preventative to such a walk. You and I look at ourselves and we say, I can't walk with the Lord because of this. I can't walk with the Lord really because of this other thing. And there certainly was this other thing over here that I forgot about. These things are impediments. These things are preventatives. I can't walk with God. But I say to you, even though you look at yourself and you can list 1,000, indeed I say even 1,000 times that, of reasons why you say, I cannot walk with him in the light as he is in the light. I say again to you, the nature of the work of Christ is that it makes us new creatures. It makes us to be other than we were. And it makes us altogether righteous in the sight of God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You are not righteous of yourself. There is none righteous, no, not one. You are not anyone who holds to yourself some degree of decency or something that you can commend yourself to God. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that turneth unto him. No, not one. There is nothing about you that makes you acceptable to be able to go on with God. Or as Paul says in Ephesians 1, to sit with Christ in heavenly places. You can't do that of yourself. Because you are dead in your trespasses and sins and you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. That's the way it is. But when the Lord Jesus saves from sin, he makes us to be new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I am now righteous in the sight of my God. I ask the question, do you see perhaps in a small way the miracle of imputation? We sometimes only refer to imputation as a doctrine. It is a doctrinal truth, and I think it's one that's forgotten and one that is completely neglected seemingly in today's world. But I say the imputation, the fact that my sins were put on Christ, that he owned them, then that his righteousness was put on me and that I own that, the imputing of sin and righteousness one to the other, that is not only a doctrine, it's a miracle. Because it makes me to be one who is not qualified to walk in the light as he is in the light. I am not one who by myself could ever enter into that place, lest I should die. What did the Lord tell Moses when Moses said, "Show me now thy glory"? Well, the Lord simply said to him, "You can't see my glory, for if you see my glory in that day, you will certainly die." But he says, "But I'll hide you in a rock." Oh, do you see perhaps a little bit of a picture here? "But I will hide you, Moses, in a rock, and I will put my hand over you, and then I'll pass by. And then when I am gone clean past, I will remove my hand and let you see the train of my glory." And Moses, when he came back down to the people, how did he appear? I say, in some ways, you'd have to say, to their eyes, he was so different that they couldn't look on him. Is there perhaps in some little way a figure there that we could say a new creature, old things are passed away, all things are become new? Oh, I say, the scripture does speak of men who walked with God. Adam walked with God before the fall. Enoch was one that walked with the Lord, and he was not, for the Lord took him. Moses saw the Lord and was talked to by the Lord. David was a man after God's own heart. Daniel truly was a man that was unusual and walked with God. And we nod and we say that these men were extraordinary men who were not like others. Well, my statement is, you know, if you're saying that these men were able to walk with God because they were not like others, I would ask you this question: how were they not like others? Everyone that we just named had sinned and come short of the glory of God. They could not stand in the presence of the Lord, their God, in their own righteousness. I say to you this morning, the word here is that walking with God is absolutely possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, has removed those things that keep us from walking with him. You can, no matter what the state of your heart, you can this day walk with your God in the light as he is in the light. And again, I say, do you begin to see perhaps the enormity of that word "all"? For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now I say, this is not a word that only gives comfort to let me know that there is nothing that now can condemn me. I say, this word, as it's given in this verse, speaks to us a word that defines the ground of a walk with a pure and holy God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth me from all sin. There's nothing now that's an impediment for me to go on with the Lord in the light. Let me set this verse before you. Ephesians 2 and 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." I say it is certain that this verse indicates that judicially, we who were defiled and condemned by sin are made both clean and righteous. But further, we are now also by this verse shown that we are in a relationship with the Lord. He is now our Father and the provider of every grace. But may I even say it this way? But the miracle of the blood of Christ is even richer. We are now brought into that place where we can dwell in the pure and holy presence of God as those who belong there. think with me about that. You can dwell in the holy and pure presence of God as one who belongs there. You have been brought nigh to God by the precious blood of Christ. We are welcome. Now let me even go one step further than that. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We might again ask the question, how is it that we can draw nigh to God? How is it that we can cleanse our hands? You know, I think James's verse that we just read, James 4 and verse 8, is a clear reference to the words that are spoken before in Psalm 24, where it says in verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? Does that not sound like walking in the light? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? Answer, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I stress to you this morning, the whole of our being able to be made clean and walk with our God, the ability to put sin away, to cleanse the hands, as it were, is in the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Everything that is needed for you to be rid of sin and walk with God is not just supplied as a present help. It is a work that is already done. It is possible for you to go on with God. It is possible for you to walk where He is, not because of what you are. Oh, child of God, stop looking at yourself. Stop thinking about your own worthiness or your own ability to have God consider you for what you are. Foundational truth. You are able to go on with God because of what Jesus has perfectly done. And so now I say we progress in our line of thinking to come to this point. I would say that this walking in the light not only is divine and not only is it possible, I would say this. Third, it is expected. It is expected. You know, it may seem that when we have been what we've been speaking of is to us only a goal to be shot for. But the issue of walking with the Lord is not a vital concern. It's a goal. It's something that would be good. It would be something to strive for. Well, if that's the thought, that it's not of vital concern, I will lay these two verses before you as an answer to that thought. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. Does anybody know the next verses? Or next words, rather, of this verse? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Is that something that is an alternative to you, or a choice to you, an option? How about Hebrews 11 and 6? You know this verse. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, to many people it is enough to believe so that your soul is saved. That's enough. But the idea of constant communion with the Lord, or diligently seeking Him, is either a matter of little concern in the light of the concerns of this life, or it is a matter that has already been tried but found to be a situation of failure. And with that in mind, we sometimes conclude that the matter of walking with the Lord in the light is a matter of spiritual choice. It's something that's good to do, but if you don't, as long as you believe that the Lord Jesus saves and that you're saved, then that's all that matters, and you just go on with life without trying to walk with the Lord. That's not an option. That's not the way of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That does not sound like an option to me. It is not enough for the people of God simply to say, well, I'm saved. I believe the Lord Jesus saves from sin. I believe that, and that's good enough. Now I'll just go on seeking the things of my own way in my own life. No, sir. The mind and will and way of God is that His people would walk with Christ Jesus. If you have received Him, walk in Him. That is what you are to do. I say there is a clear and straightforward statement in Scripture with this, that the will of God for His people is to walk with Him in the light of truth, life, and holiness again. And that is the place where the Lord dwells. And let me just say this, the place of which we speak is not a place that is reached by action alone. We're not talking about just simply walking with Him as a, okay, I'm going to do these things. Though, I will have to say, we are commanded to be a holy people, so that is true. But I want you to understand what we're talking about here mostly is a place that is reached by faith and devotion. Faith and devotion. Faith in what? I walk with the Lord and then I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. And I am devoted to Him who has washed me by the blood of His own sacrifice. Or can I say it this way? Perhaps maybe a verse would do better. Psalm 91:1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Child of God, do you seek after communion of God? Do you utterly believe on the merits of the Lord Jesus to bring you into the light, and then do you seek to give yourselves to the Lord? I ask it plainly. I hear the response of some, but I can't. I have too many issues and failings and sins. Let me say this to you. Dr. Calvin, John Calvin, made a statement in his commentary on this verse that I thought was fatherly, pastorly, insightful, kind, and very encouraging. He says, expressions of this kind, that is to call, the call to walk in the light, are accommodated to the capacities of men. I want to say that again. When the Lord tells you to walk in the light as He is in the light, He knows who you are. He remembers your frame. He knows that you are dust. And what Calvin again says, expressions of this kind, the call of the Lord for you to walk with Him in the light, it is accommodated to the capacity of a man to do so. He is, therefore, said to be like God who aspires to His likeness, however distant from it he may as yet be. He walks in darkness who is not ruled by the fear of God, and who does not with a pure conscience devote himself wholly to God and seek to promote His glory. The Lord knows what you can do. The Lord knows who you are. But the Lord also knows your heart if you're devoted to Him and desire to walk with Him. He indeed offers again to you, as He brings the whole subject, walk in the light as He is in the light and have fellowship with Him. But He knows what you are, so immediately after that, He says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There it is. There it is, child of God. It is possible for you to walk with your God. It is expected for you to walk with your God. Because the way is there. The ability to do so is there. The Lord does know what you are. He does know all the things that you can bring as a reason why you think you can't. And they are no reason. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. I say, understand this. And I'm going to coin a word, if you will. What God expects, He has fully made doable. Doable is not a word. It is now. What God expects of you, He's made the way for you to do. And God expects his people to walk with him. That is plain from the Word of God. Now, having said that, my fourth thought is this. When we say that we are to walk in the light, as he is in the light, I want you to see also it is a distinct word. It is distinct. And at this point, I simply want to present this thought. To walk in God's light is to be of a mind that God has and is of a mind that we do what pleases him and obey what he has said. And that I would hope would be clear enough from what we have just read. But put it in another way, but to say the same thing, here is a statement that those that walk in the light with God are fully allied to him, devoted to him, and walk as friends with God. Let me give you an example of what I'm trying to say here. James chapter 2 and verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. To walk with the Lord in the light, that you would have fellowship with him, is to be the friend of God. I say Abraham walked with God, striving to walk in the purity of God. For us to be friends with God is to ally ourselves with those things that God says, this is what I am, this is what I am expecting my people to be, and then to repudiate that which is not of God. Now, having said that, I cross many men when I say these words. For any man to say that he must accommodate certain ways and adopt a certain lifestyle so that he can relate to the world is absolute folly, and it contradicts entirely what we're talking about here this morning. There are many who will say, I have to be a little bit like the world so the world will see what I am and won't be scared off by me or won't be put off by me. So I have to be a little bit like them so that I will have the ability to win them or whatever. I simply say that the scripture here would have us to understand that the light of God has nothing to do with this world and the ways that are in this world. Now, I'm about to set before you some very strong scriptural language that addresses the methods of compromise and the accommodation, and I will let it settle where it will. But this is a mind that I have about many who would assimilate the world into their life for the reasons of whatever it is that they think it's going to do. Let me simply tell you what it says in the scripture about that mindset. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's about as plain as you can get it. The contrast here is simple. It is to either walk in the light where we are wholly given to the pure ways of God, or we allow for the world to enter. I ask a question of you plainly. How much darkness does the light of God tolerate? Walk in the light as he is in the light. How much darkness will you be able to incorporate and still walk with God in the light of the purity of God? Well, men might say, well, it's just a little. I ask again, how much darkness does the light of God tolerate? Okay, now, I hear a response to me. You may not hear it, I hear it. So since I hear it, I get to say something about it. Sir, you preach legalism. Well, I ask, can a man be right that claims that God's instructions to be holy as he is holy? Is that legalism? Let me tell you something. Let me mention something to you. Legalism, the word, has become the great curse word among evangelicals today. There's not another accusation that can be made against a man that is worse. I say a man may be called a liar, and it is less of a dishonor than for that man to be called a legalist. I will say this. I will even go further. I say it is becoming the label that is used to demonize what is said that goes against what is wanted. I want to do this. You can't. You tell me I can't do that. You're a legalist. You know, it is a very well-known technique and tactical ploy in the political world to label somebody something because they stand against you, even though they may be right. Maybe I'll just throw a couple of them out here, and I'm sure you can think of many more. The word bigot. Oh, I don't like what you say. You're a bigot. Well, I'm not a bigot. I'm telling you the truth. No, you're a bigot. You're a right-wing radical. You're a homophobe. You stand up against sodomy. You're a homophobe! I say to you, the word legalist is falling into the same category. It's just a term that men are starting to use because someone might dare stand up and tell them, thus saith the Lord, I don't like that. You're a legalist. You know, I watched with my wife a little bit of an internet interview with one of our modern reformed gurus, if you can call him that. And in the subject matter that was being discussed, he was comparing those that were overwhelmed by a sin that both consumes the body and wrecks the soul. He was comparing that with legalism. And his conclusion was that there were far more of those that were involved with that sin in heaven. For as he said, the Scripture does not condemn that sin, though it does, and I'd be glad to take anybody on that particular point. He was saying there's far more of those people in heaven than there are legalists. He said there's millions and millions of legalists that are now lost, but there are some of these that will be in heaven. In other words, what I came away with is the thought that in his mind, or at least he wasn't saying it forthrightly, but it was certainly inferred, and you couldn't have missed it, that to be if you were a legalist, there was no way that you can go to heaven. I was standing there incredulous. I was like, are you to simply tell me that every man who ever perhaps struggled with a point in which you would say he has a legalist thought in his head, that man is lost? Because that's what you'd have to come to in his conclusions. Such was the argument against legalists. My point to you this morning is simply this. If you are going to walk with the Lord in the light, you have to agree with God about the things that God says is right and wrong. You have to walk with Him acknowledging His right to govern what you do, what you say, what you are involved with. To walk with the Lord is to say that He indeed is Lord, and I am not. And I will not try to bring in something that perhaps is of the world so that the world might fancy me a little bit more appealing to them. I say to walk in the light is to disown the ways and treasures of the world. Period. I will also go on to say this, and this I conclude with. It is blessed to walk in the light as he is in the light. What is the lot of the man that walks in the light? Now, you could probably point out a whole host of things. I only am going to list two for the sake of time this morning. From the context and from the very words of our text, I would point out to you this. The man who walks in the light is that man who is in the enjoyment of sins forgiven. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you have a joy within your heart again, knowing that that which was done against God is put away and you're right with God? Would you have the joy of going on with God? There's power in the blood. I say, here is the knowledge to freedom from sin that sets the heart at ease. I can walk with him in the light of knowing my sins are gone. I can enjoy freedom. But also I would say this, there's the enjoyment of the Savior at hand. The enjoyment of the Savior. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Lord Jesus says plainly, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." For the child of God, the walk with the Lord is the answer to all of our heart needs. Name one that you think is not under that heading. Name one. You can't. Every single heart need you have as a child of God is met by walking with Jesus Christ. First, because Christ ministers. Second, because you have the Holy Spirit within you, the earnest of your salvation that works within you to make you satisfied with Jesus. And don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit does not make you satisfied with the things of the world. How many Christians out there are plagued? How many Christians are out there dissatisfied with everything? Well, my question is this. Are you walking with Christ in the light? Are you going on with the Lord? Are you in agreement with him? Are you going on with God? If you're not, don't be surprised that the Lord allows you to be miserable. And if I can even put it this way, he may even make you miserable through the Spirit's power because you don't belong doing those things and involved with those things. For the child of God to walk with the Lord means then that the Lord will do as he has just said, "Come unto me, all ye labor that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you want rest? And I ask this, how many things do you want rest about? How many things do you need the rest of the Lord? Some people are ailing. Some people are facing death. Some people are facing monumental catastrophes in their life. There are others that have, you know, and can I put it this way? Some of us just face the mundane daily spiritual mosquitoes that keep biting us and making us nuts. How do you deal with such a thing? If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, ye have fellowship one with another. I will give you rest. Fellowship in the light entails rest in Christ. How about this? How about peace? How about the peace of God? John chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Do you need the peace of God that passeth understanding? I know sometimes I come out with questions that are just so hard and so But I ask you again, do you need the peace of God, the rule in your heart, knowing that God is and all is well? Do you need to know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Do you need to know these things? Does your heart need to be settled? Though you hear the roaring lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, are you able to have still your heart settled? How does that happen? Through Christ Jesus our Lord, walking with Him. What about filling for usefulness? What about filling for usefulness? Does walking in the light have any ramifications to that? Let me read to you Hebrews 13 and 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. How is it that you are useful for the Lord? You go to school and you learn many techniques of this or that aspect of some ministry, right? I'm not disparaging that. If you have the opportunity to do so, you ought to. But that's not what makes you useful. That's not what makes a servant. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. You are made useful for the cause of Christ as the Lord works in you His own will. I say it this way, I summarize. For the believer, the whole of our soul's good comes from being with Jesus. He is that one who does us good. Our good comes from no other place. So again, I say this morning this, you can walk with Him. That again is a foundational truth. You can walk with Him. Indeed, I say you must walk with Him. And it is possible because Jesus has shed His blood to make it all true. Will you walk with Christ today? Come unto me. He says, come unto me. Lord, now bless. Lord, now undertake. Lord, apply. Lord, use the word as you see fit to do your work. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.